this 10th of September 1974 hearing is now in session. The first two cases on the docket, there's been a request to consider them together. Anyone object to that? I'll read them both. Case number 1208, on a motion of the commission to consider the application of Patrick Petroleum Corporation for an order permitting the drilling of a well in southeast, southeast, section 10, township 140 north, range 96 west, Dark County, North Dakota, as an exception to the basin pattern in the Dickinson Heat Pool. And case number 1209, on a motion of the commission to consider the application of Patrick Petroleum Corporation for an order pooling all interest in the 328 spacing for the Dickinson Heat Pool described as the east half of the section 10, township 140 north, range 96 west, Dark County, North Dakota. Mr. Fleck, if you would like to go ahead on these two together.
Yes, if there's no objection, I think it would save a few minutes of time.
For all those who may wish to testify, in either case number 1208 or 1209, please stand. In this matter here before us, do you promise to tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth?
To please the commission, Ernest R. Fleck, P.O. Box 1436, Bismarck, appearing on behalf of Patrick Petroleum Corporation in cases 1208 and 1209. Gentlemen, as indicated by the notice, the case 1208 is merely a request for an exception location. The exhibits placed in front of you will indicate that the requested location is in the southeast quarter, section 10, whereas under the old spacing pattern for the Dickinson Field, the location would be in the southwest of the southwest quarter of the southeast quarter. This area is in the buffer zone just north of the Dickinson Heath Sand unit. You recall this unit was established for pressure maintenance and secondary recovery, and the area we're talking about is just outside of the unit, and request now is, of course, to have permission to drill at a location where there would be a possibility of getting a commercial well, whereas the pattern location, there would be no possibility. This is all in an area that was originally thought to be non-productive. And the second portion, or the second case, just merely relates to pooling the unit for the proposed location in the event the commission sees fit to grant our request. The unit, spacing unit, would be the east half of 10. And the second case merely asks to pool all the interest in the east half of 10 as a matter of convenience because there's some difficulty in locating all the people involved. Our first witness will be Mr. Ray Harrison. Can you state your name for the record, please?
Ray Harrison. Billings, Montana.
By whom are you employed, Mr. Harrison?
By Phillips Petroleum Company.
And in what capacity are you employed?
As a senior exploration geologist.
Now, have you previously testified before this commission as an expert in the area of petroleum geology?
I have.
And as a petroleum geologist with Phillips, have you had an occasion to study and maintain yourself current on the geological data and information available in the area of the Dickinson Heath Field in Stark County, North Dakota?
Yes, for approximately the last 4.5 years.
Now, we offer the further testimony of Mr. Harrison as that of an expert. Now, Mr. Harrison, I'll show you what has been marked, first of all, as Phillips Exhibit Number 1, and ask if you will identify it and then explain to the commission briefly what is depicted by this exhibit.
Exhibit Number 1 is an exhibit that I prepared in support of the application of Patrick Petroleum, inasmuch as the acreage shown in yellow on this exhibit is jointly owned by Patrick and Phillips. And it is the purpose of this exhibit to show the leasehold interests of Patrick and Phillips in the area under consideration. All of the tracts that are colored in yellow, Phillips and Patrick have an leasehold interest under those tracts, which amounts to approximately a net 3,000 acres in the area that we're talking about. The purpose of this is to show the requested location, which is indicated by a red arrow, indicating that we would like to drill in the southeast, southeast of Section 10, in preference to the arm pattern location, which would be the southwest, southeast of Section 10. The other producing wells are shown as black solid circles and the dry holes as with a dry hole symbol surrounding the area. The last well that was drilled in this area was in Section 11 in the northwest quarter, which was completed as a dry hole in March of this year. There are three producing wells offsetting the proposed requested location or the requested drilling unit, the east half of Section 10. These producing wells being located in the southwest quarter of Section 11, the northwest quarter of Section 14, and the southeast quarter of Section 15.
Just for the record, it's probably generally known, Phillips recently acquired Cardinal Petroleum, is that correct?
That's right.
And that's, this acreage is now owned by Phillips as a result of that acquisition?
That is right. Yeah, they acquired Cardinal's interest in this area.
And I don't know if you mentioned it or not, Mr. Harrison, the broken line to the south of your yellow area, that indicates the outline of the Dickinson Heath Sand unit for pressure maintenance and secondary recovery. Is that correct?
That is right.
And then the area in which you are interested in, that is the subject of this hearing, is within the buffer zone of the Dickinson Heath field. Is that correct?
That's right. As I recall, at a previous hearing not too long ago, the delineation of the Dickinson field as such was made to coincide with the area of the Heath sand unit.
In other words, the field boundaries and the unit boundaries are the same, so you're now in the buffer zone of the field.
Right.
And as such, the prior field rules are applicable to the buffer zone, correct?
Yes.
I'll show you what has been marked as Phillips Exhibit Number 2 now and ask if you identify it and explain to the Commission what's depicted by the exhibit.
Exhibit Number 2 shows, of course, the east half of Section 10 as the requested drilling unit, and again shows the on pattern and the requested location in Section 10. It also shows the cumulative production under the three wells, or from the three wells that directly and diagonally offset the requested drilling unit. For instance, in the southwest quarter of Section 11, that well, which was completed in August of 1973, has produced 25,344 barrels of oil. And in June, it made 51 barrels of oil per day. I note that in the July production, which came in subsequent to my preparation of these exhibits, it made 61 barrels of oil per day. So that is its present capability.
In other words, these figures are June end figures.
That's right. These are the end of June figures. The well in the northwest quarter of Section 14 has made a cumulative production as of that date of 92,175 barrels of oil and is currently making 47 barrels of oil per day. That is at the end of June. I do not have the July figures on that because that is a unit well and they do not come out monthly with the unit well production. The well directly to the south in the southeast quarter of Section 15, which encompasses a drilling unit comprising the east half of Section 15, has produced a total of 240,542 barrels of oil and is currently making 82 barrels of oil per day. This illustrates further the point that from the contiguous leases offsetting the requested drilling unit, that a total of slightly more than 358,000 barrels of oil have been produced to the end of June of this year.
Well, does this also indicate to you then possibly a correlative rights problem, Mr. Harrison, if this amount of oil has been produced from these wells offsetting requested well location?
Oh, I think it very definitely does, because with that amount of oil being produced from offsetting wells, you can rest assured that if there is oil under the east half of Section 10, it is being drained by those three wells.
And for quite some period of time, is that correct?
And for some period of time, right.
And I'll show you what has been marked as Phillips Exhibit Number 3 now and ask if, again, you will identify it and then explain what is depicted by it and the significance of the exhibit.
The exhibit numbers 3, 4, and 5 are designed to cover the two elements that one must consider in establishing the probabilities of production from a known horizon, that is, the structure of the pay zone at the particular location or under the drilling unit, and then the thickness of the pay that is likely to underlie that particular drilling unit. Exhibit number 3 is a structure map that I have contoured on what is commonly referred to as the Heath limestone, which is a very good definitive marker. There is no question about it. There's no interpolation necessary to map the structure of this particular marker, and it gives you a good basis to compare the structure of the underlying sand with as you progress through the analysis of this east half of Section 10. The critical factors, of course, is the structural position and the thickness of the pay itself, which is indicated on this log here as the red zone. This is the EV sand zone that produces in the offsetting well. But sometimes this the pay zone itself is not developed as a pay zone, and so you have to interpolate when you map this particular pay horizon. You have to interpolate from the logs that you have where that lies. So I have drawn two maps. Exhibit number 3 is the map drawn at this particular point on the Heath line, and then the following exhibit we will see is drawn on the actual B sand Heath pay or its equivalent, where it is tight and not sufficiently developed to produce. You will note that this particular structure map and the one that follows, which coincides with it, shows a rather pronounced low in the area of the northeast quarter of Section 15 and the northwest quarter of Section 14. This particular map is drawn on a 25-foot contour interval, and it shows this closed low encompassing this area. This is not unique to the field in this particular area as such, because in the western part of the Dickinson Heath Sand unit now, there is an extremely low hole, very similar to this, only it is much lower. It's about 100 feet lower than the well surrounding it, and it's interesting to note that that particular well over there in Section 34, the Zaradnik well, has made more oil than any well in the Heath Sand unit, and yet it is the lowest structural well in the unit. So the the lows are not actually as critical as the development of the sand within the formation, but this does show that the east half of Section 10 is favorably located from a structural position, and both the pattern location and the requested location are at about the same data. I mean, we can there would be relatively little difference between the two. If we can go to
but structure not being significant, this is not helpful then, is that
well,
correct?
No, you can't really say that structure is not significant, because I'm sure that as you progress down dip here to the northwest that eventually you're going to run into water. But is the purpose of this to show that we are still in the ballpark as far as being above that particular datum is concerned. And this clears up a little bit on exhibit number 4. Now this is the map, the structural map that is drawn actually on the top of the B sand pay or its equivalent. And you will notice that virtually all of the east half of Section 10 lies above the minus 5,400 contour line. And we have a producing well in section 14 in the northwest quarter where the top of the pay zone is actually a minus 5405. In other words, the east half of section 10 in all probability, and according to my interpretations, is going to be structurally higher than the producing well in the northwest quarter of section 14. For a long time, the magic number of a minus 5400 was carried as the oil-water contact in this area. But that was sort of blown out of the water, actually, when we drilled the 514 shank well in the northwest quarter of section 14, which was below this. And as you can see, it's made almost 100,000 barrels of oil. So they do not know, we do not know, and I'm sure that Continental does not know the exact relationship of the oil-water contact to the effect on production within the field. This does show that the requested drilling unit is favorably located structurally to produce a good quantity of oil.
Well, Mr. Harrison, let's look at exhibit number 5, being an isopach map, and ask if you will identify and explain the significance of this exhibit.
This is really the crux of the reason why Patrick and Phillips are requesting that the requested location be granted in the southeast-southeast of Section 10 rather than the on-pattern location. It is very difficult to map the thickness of the pay sand in this area, which this is a map of, drawn on 2-foot contour intervals. And it shows the thickness of the effective pay sand in this part of the field. A well at the proposed location would have, I would say, at the most 2 feet of pay. That 2 feet of pay is really not sufficient to make a commercial well out of, as has been demonstrated by the well we drilled in section 11 in the southwest southeast of section 11. Now that has 2.5 feet of pay in it from the logs, and made some oil on drill stem test, but it was just not sufficiently permeable to make a commercial well out of in the judgment of our engineering section. So that well was plugged. And that well, I'm afraid that we would run into the same situation with the on-pattern location in the southwest, southeast of section 10. There will be some pay there, but it will just not be sufficient in permeability to enable it to be completed as a commercial well. There are other wells, as you see, down in section 15, dry holes actually, section 15, section 16, section 14, that carry all the way from 1 to 3 feet of indicated pay and porosity that were not completed as commercial wells. So the name of the game is to get your location in the drilling unit in the most advantageous position to produce commercial quantities of oil. And as I have shown here, I estimate that the requested location will have about 7 feet of effective pay and should result in a fairly good commercial well. The reason, another reason why we are requesting this, there have been a goodly number of off-pattern wells granted in this part of the field. But now the cost of drilling, as you are probably aware, has increased and accelerated to the point that a well in here drilled to the casing point, according to the AFE, which I recently received from Patrick, will cost $106,000, and to complete will cost another $162,000. So we're talking about an expenditure for a completed well of just over $268,000. So we'd like to avoid the possibility of having a very marginal well to spend that amount of money on.
Or in the event the well, of course, was not commercial, drilled on pattern, you'd be drilling an unnecessary well and it would constitute waste, is that correct?
I'm sure that's right, and we would, in all probability, have to move over and try another one.
Now, Mr. Harrison, you're familiar with the fact that in recent months and over the year, the Commission has wisely given more flexibility in spacing patterns and well locations, such as in Green River, Zenith, South Hart. Are you familiar with the procedure that has been followed along that line? And if so, do you have any comments on it?
Yes, I am familiar with it, and I've just made a couple of notes here that I do think have a bearing on the spacing for the heath sand in this general part of North Dakota. And I might explain that when Dickinson Field was spaced, originally it was spaced on 160 acres and then eventually changed to 320 acres. The locations had to be drilled in a specific spot. In other words, if you look down at section 21, for instance, on your map on the west side, or on the left side, down just below the middle of the page, you'll see a well in the southwest southeast of 21 and in the southwest northwest of 21. Now that is the actual spacing pattern for this part of the Dickinson Field, and you're allowed by definition of the order not to be able to drill anywhere else within the half sections without a specific approval of the Industrial Commission. And over the years, the operators and now the commission too has found that there's needed to be more flexibility in the location of these wells on a 320-acre tract, not only to eliminate the drilling of unnecessary dry holes, but also to drill the wells where they will most effectively drain the reservoir. Now, the start of this actually came in January of this year, when the South Hart Field was spaced on 320 acres, and this was in case number 1172. And the spacing approved there by the commission, and I think wisely so, was anywhere within the 320 acres, that is 660 feet from the boundary of the drilling unit and 1,860 feet from the nearest producing well. And this was followed in the Green River field hearing, which was case number 1183 in May of this year, where a very similar spacing for the same heath sand reservoir, not the same reservoir, but the same type of reservoir off to the west here in the township to the west, that was granted on floating locations within the 320-acre drilling unit, 660 feet from the boundary, and 2,000 feet from the nearest producing well. And likewise, that in a hearing that was held just last month, which I did not attend, but I understand that the request was presented for 320-acre spacing in a remodification of the Zenith Field in case number 1205, where the wells would be 660 feet from the drilling unit line and 1,860 feet from the nearest producing well. And I think this is wise, and I compliment the commission on their ability to realize the necessity for more flexibility within this area. And I think that it's a wise thing to do, and it's a coming thing to do, and you'll see less dry holes drilled, fewer dry holes drilled, and better producers resulting from the application of this new philosophy on spacing.
And don't you think it would encourage further, more rapid development of the fields?
By all means, that's right. And I might point out here, as long as we're talking about about this type of spacing, that the requested location in the southeast of 10 would fall within the specifications of these other cases that I have mentioned, because it is located 660 feet from the drilling unit line and is 2,640 feet from the nearest producing well.
So that would fit in easily with any of the guidelines that have previously been set up for the heath sand. Is that
right? That have recently been set up. And I would also point out that we are moving no closer to the Dickinson heath sand unit in our requested location than we are on the on-pattern location. Mm-hmm. We're 660 feet from it in either event.
Now we offer into evidence exhibits 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5.
Are there any objections?
We have no further questions of this witness.
Governor. The location, the exceptional location that you're requesting here,
will it not recover oil from portions of, let's say, the northwest, northeast quarter of Section 15, which is just to the south of it, and possibly also the northwest of 14?
Oh, it might recover a little bit, Governor. I think probably that the bulk of the drainage from this well will be from the parts of the reservoir that are more to the north rather than to the east and the southeast and the south. There's no question about the fact that there is some drainage from adjoining tracts, but once the flow of the reservoir, the drainage flow within the reservoir is established, I don't think that it's they're going to get too much from those other tracks that are next to it. They would get some, but by the same token, the other three wells that I pointed out that have been drilled in there have undoubtedly been draining from the east half of Section 10, because this whole thing is sort of as an entity in itself, and it's very difficult to tell just where the drainage does come from these wells that are drilled. But we have shown that these three wells have produced, or I pointed out that these three offsetting wells have produced over 358,000 barrels of oil, and I would submit that some of that has come from the east half of Section 10, although it's difficult to prove. And if the east half of 10 did drain some from the other adjoining units, I would say that it's not going to drain more from the other units than the other units have drained from it.
So to just be fair, compensatory drainage, if any, is that correct?
I see. That's right. And it's getting a late start. That's one thing. The other wells are on production, have been on production, have produced a great deal of oil. So the people in the east half of 10 are not going to benefit too much at this date by drainage from other tracks.
Do you foresee building another location in the east half of the half of 10 that you are asking permission to unitize?
Another well in the east half of 10? No, sir, we would not, because that would all be part of the drilling unit for this well. My maps would indicate that there is, yes, sir. But my maps would also indicate that the oil from the northeast of 10 would be sufficiently drained by this well in the southeast of 10. There would be no need to drill another well. Like the well in Section 15, the drilling unit is the east half of Section 15, and that well has made an abundance of oil from not only that drilling unit, but probably the adjoining units, just like the rest of the wells where they're...
What is the depth? What is the depth of the well?
Approximately 7,850 feet. 7,850 to 7,900 feet.
In other words, based upon the information that you have, one well will effectively drain in excess of 320 acres in this east sand. Is that correct?
Yes, I think there has been an abundance of testimony presented to that effect.
Now, the commission has experienced requests in recent months for drilling further wells within a 320-acre spacing unit, but this has been in the Red River type formation, which is not comparable to this type of sand, is that correct?
Oh, it's a different thing altogether, yes.
And Mr. Harrison, I neglected to ask you in relation to the second case, is it correct, based upon the information that's been furnished to you concerning title to the mineral interest involved in this east half of 10, is it correct that there are different owners of different and separate tracts within this proposed spacing unit?
Yes, there are a number of them.
And is it correct that all of these persons have not executed a voluntary pooling agreement?
That's right.
That's all.
That I have.
Your question answered, Governor.
Mr. Harrison, that a portion of Section 15, as an example, that has no well on it, is nevertheless sharing the production from the tickets and feed sale.
Oh, yes.
Sure.
Why are not the well that's presently located in the southeast and the southwest of 11 and the proposed well included in the unit? Are they separate sources of supply?
No, I'm sure they're the same sources of supply. The unit was formed prior to the building of that well. And Continental and the rest of the operators had been wanting to get this unit formed for some many years, you see. They'd been working at it. And they had to draw a line sometime to terminate and delineate the unit so they could get everybody signed up and get it going. And they did not choose to wait on the drilling of that well. I think they were aware that we were eventually probably going to drill it. I'm not sure of that, but they in their thinking, I am sure, thought that the reservoir ended where they drew their unit boundary line and felt confident enough of it to go ahead and form the unit, which is quite an undertaking. And they, to my knowledge, they have not approached us from the standpoint of getting that well in the unit. Of course, we have not volunteered it to go in.
There are, if this is the normal type agreement, there would be provisions for including additional acreage.
I'm sure there are.
There are,
yes.
Such provisions.
With respect to the second case, you're not only changing the location, you're changing the spaces. In other words, the southwest quarter of Section 10 is not going to share in this production at all, whereas if a well had been drilled in the prescribed location, it would. In other words, we're switching not only from the southwest to the southeast, we're switching the unit from to the east half rather than, say, the south half of the quarter.
Well, the proposed location is in the southwest of the southeast.
I don't see that, Jerry.
Correction, the pattern location or the regular location.
Okay.
We're not talking about the west half of 10 at all.
Okay.
But
you're pooling. What are you pooling?
We're pooling the east half of 10. And both the pattern location and the proposed location would be in the east half of 10.
Okay.
To ease your pain, Jerry, there, I might just comment that the ownership of the southwest of 10 is the same as the southeast of 10, and he's going to share in that well. You see?
Okay, and there's no request for pooling of working interest ownership.
No, it better be the order had better cover working interest also, because there is a small interest out that can't be located and. Well, yeah, yes.
You're not asking for any decision to cost?
No, if there's any problem in that regard, we'll come back to the commission at a later date.
One more question. What, if any, participation does Patrick and Phillips have in the difference between stay and leave?
Cardinal had, I can't remember the exact percentage, Jerry, but Phillips, of course, inherited Cardinal's interest. To my knowledge, Patrick has none.
Patrick in there? No.
I don't think they have any interest in the unit. And I can't remember the percentage of Phillips. But
well,
it's a reasonable amount.
I'm sure there are some good reasons, but I have to say I don't really understand completely if we go to the purpose of setting up a unit of a secondary recovery project, that it would be drilling wells that are not included within the unit on the periphery of the unit, what do you think?
Well,
Well, ultimately, it's a timing matter, Mr. Vanderwall, and a mechanical matter. The mechanics of bringing a well into the unit under the terms and provisions of the unit agreement are necessarily somewhat cumbersome. And ultimately, and certainly at such time as the unit operation of the flooding program has any effect upon these wells, ultimately the tracks will be brought in, but it must be brought in with a vote of all the working interest owners in the unit. And there has to be some production history and some monitoring of the performance of these new wells before a just and equitable participation factor can be allocated to the unit or to the track within the unit. So again, I say it's a matter of time and necessarily so.
Well, I understand the kind of situation with the right well drilled afterward, and I understand that it may take some time to get them into the unit. However, Mr. Harrison's answer to the question that they have not requested, nor have they requested, have Continental requested that they join, nor have they requested that they be joined, leads me to believe that that may never happen.
No, again, I'm saying it's premature until we have a little more historical performance of production and of the wells.
You see, Jerry, if they'd waited till all of this development took place up here on this northeast end, until we actually got the field defined on the northeast end, the unit would not have been formed yet.
Yeah.
You remember it was 4 years.
I understand there's some peace.
Right, we waited some 4 years to finally get it together as it was.
Does anyone else wish to testify on this? We're still on 12-well.
Mr. Klemmer has a statement to make.
In regard to both these, we represent Patrick from a technical standpoint here in North Dakota. I'm John Klemmer, Harris Brown Klemmer, consulting geologist, Bismarck. And we've worked with Ray and concur with all of his testimony.
That completes all the presentation that we have in these two cases.
Are there any further questions? Are there any questions for case number 410, on a motion of the commission to consider the application of Farmers Union Central Exchange Incorporated for an order amending the outline of and establishing the facing for oil proof discovered by the Farmers Union Central Exchange Incorporated number 16-34, located in the southeast, southeast, second 34, township 140, north, 99, west, back down, north Dakota, to define the limits of the field and enact such special field rules as may be necessary. Mr. Fleck, please.
Well, my name is Ernest R. Fleck, P.O. Box 1436, Bismarck, North Dakota, appearing on behalf of Farmers Union Central Exchange, Inc., in this case number 1210.